welcome to Lambda Weekly, and I can't get my computer to shut off. And it's still playing.
Hey,
let me see if I can go back there and help you.
That's a new one.
Can you turn it down or turn us on?
I turned you on.
Okay.
Welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with.
Put it in water.
I tried all that.
You put it in water?
Happy Easter.
Thank you.
With all that Jewish music. But also, first and foremost, I think maybe happy Trans Day of Visibility, which came first. The day designated for years for Transgender Day of Visibility was March 31st. Mm-hmm. It's not a holiday that moves around.
No, it's 31st every year.
It's 31st every year.
Yeah, and so, I'm just hoping that one day there can be safety and visibility, because it's like a two-sided coin. I mean, if you could be visible and be safe, you can celebrate, and that's wonderful, and be seen, and I think it's important for us to be just part of the family, you know?
And me being three steps behind, let me introduce our guest.
Oh, yeah.
Like I need an introduction? Really?
Right. Like our listeners don't know who Leslie is.
We could do that.
Leslie McMurray,
who's here
waving her new Trump Bible. Congratulations
but
on
Patty and I didn't get introductions either.
No. Is that what that is?
Yeah, and Patty and Laron are here. Laron, of course, is wearing his gold Trump sneakers.
They're shining bright.
Okay, go back to where you were.
Well,
we're just talking about what day it is.
The right wing, you know, MAGA Republicans are seething today.
Because, I mean, seething.
And yesterday, because President Biden recognized that today is not only Easter, but and Happy Easter to those who celebrate. But also Transgender Day of Visibility, which it has been for several decades now.
Not only several decades, but he has recognized it ever since he has took the office on March 31st. So this isn't anything new.
So are they mad at him or are they mad at me?
They're mad at both of you.
Both. Oh, okay.
I'm mad at you.
We really don't have to do very much to be public enemy number one.
No. Just exist.
Yeah.
But that's just it. If the right wing, if that whole group of people that are seething today about it, who are insisting that their Christian holiday not be stepped upon by those people, so to speak.
Well, apparently the Christian faith is under assault.
Right.
I keep hearing that.
But if they really were Christians of their faith, they would welcome and love everyone. And we really think about it, we probably wouldn't even need a Transgender Day of Visibility.
No.
It wouldn't even be needed. So they're complaining about something their actions and history over time is still occurring today. It spawned.
Yeah.
The Trans Day of Visibility is here because there are people who hate trans people.
And you have only yourselves to blame.
Exactly.
But here's what I don't understand about it. Of course, nothing makes sense what they do. Okay, fine. You don't like that it has fallen on Easter, or Easter has fallen on Trans Day of Visibility. Then don't celebrate it. Don't recognize it. Go on. Many things can coexist at the same time. Go ahead and celebrate your Easter. Don't even recognize it.
Yeah, hunt for your eggs. Yeah, eat your chocolate bunnies.
Yeah, what are you upset about?
Stuff.
I mean, somebody at your church saying you must recognize or talk about Trans Day of Visibility. I doubt it. Do your thing.
Yeah, you know, it's not like, you know, National Car Transmission Day or, you know, maybe a holiday of another religion, like a Hindu
Absolutely.
Or Buddhist Diwali. Holiday or Diwali or something else, you know, or like you move on and celebrate yours,
right,
regardless of what else is going on,
exactly,
what other people may.
Isn't that what the whole First Amendment thing's about? You know, the free expression of religion?
Yeah. But they don't seem to get that. It's about cruelty and punishment. It's like, we're gonna celebrate Easter, but you can't have anything else on the same day. You can't.
Right.
You certainly can't celebrate people we're actively trying to silence.
They can
and
take
get rid
solace
of.
In the fact that it will not fall on Easter next year.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
So.
Well, can you talk a little bit about how this day even got started? You said it was
funny.
It's been,
how many you should ask?
Yeah,
I happen to.
It's been. I know President Biden has recognized it every year since he's been in office, but again, like you were saying, this has been a day.
Began 15 years ago. Yeah. The founder is a woman named Rachel Crandall Crocker, a psychotherapist and the executive director of a nonprofit group called Transgender Michigan. So there's more than 1.6 million people in the U.S. who identify as transgender, according to a 2022 study from the Williams Institute. So, it celebrates the visibility, which I say is great. It's wonderful. But I don't think trans people or non-binary people owe anyone visibility. Because quite frankly, it's not always safe. Right. Our access to health care is either threatened or denied in 24 states. I mean, come on, that's almost half the country. And I'm just wondering what it is we've done to necessitate that denial of services, to harm kids that are feeling like now we have to move to another state in order just to see the doctor and to get medically necessary care. It's just obscene.
Well, what you've done, Leslie, is you exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what the right wing does not want, or the fright wingers, as I call them, what they don't want is people who don't conform to their beliefs and understanding and control of others. Otherwise, they would not care. They want to control you and everyone like you.
Yeah.
Like they do want to do women.
I'm reading an amazing, very interesting book. It can be dense at times. It's called Animus, which is a term for essentially singling out a marginalized group of people for disparate treatment solely because you hate that marginalized group. And the Supreme Court has found if there's animus present, it's almost universally unconstitutional because that should not be the basis for things. But that's what's going on right now with our access to health care, with book bans, with don't say gay rules in school, with a lot of this nonsense that's happening in legislatures around the country are saying we hate this group of people, so we're going to manufacture these laws to deal with something that doesn't exist. They sow fear around that if you read a book, it'll make you gay. Books don't make you gay anymore, and they make you straight.
Or they might make white kids black.
Yeah.
And that would be, that would be the
ultimate. God forbid, make them drop a tear about their history.
Yeah. Yeah, and they'd be
That'll
uncomfortable.
Make them hate America.
Yeah,
they'd
yeah.
be uncomfortable with the truth.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, and this is what I don't get either about particularly the CRT and the DEI stuff that they're claiming they use interchangeably now with black mm-hmm. or brown. Is that during the Civil War and up into the Civil War and post the Civil War. There were basically slave owners, white slave owners, and white abolitionists. And all of these people today, the MAGA Republicans who have championed all this garbage laws in the United States and in state legislatures, not one identifies with the abolitionists.
Not one.
They all identify with the slave owner, and they don't want their kids to feel bad or uncomfortable about being affiliated in their parents' minds with slave owners.
You know,
so they're perpetuating the same mindset as a white slave owner and rejecting the white abolitionists in our history
who wanted to get rid of
You don't
slavery.
Have to be proud of everything that your grandparents and great-grandparents did. It's one thing to acknowledge it. It's another thing to embrace it.
You know, I don't mean mm-hmm. to turn it into a book club, but there's another that I read recently that is absolutely phenomenal that deals with this, and it's called The Warmth of Other Suns. And it deals with the Great Migration of the end of the Civil War and people, the Jim Crow laws, and people fleeing the Jim Crow laws from south to north and landing in cities like Detroit, which was like 2% black prior to the Great Migration. And it had to do with where the rail lines went. And it followed three different mm-hmm. people that went through that first-person accounts of that Great Migration, which occurred from about 19, around World War One, and it started to gather speed up until the late 1950s into the late 1960s. But they talked to three individuals, and it was just phenomenal of what they experienced and how boxed in they felt from Jim Crow, because literally anything could be done to them with no repercussions of any kind whatsoever.
But I do feel like if we backed up in time to immediate post-Civil War, when we had amendments to the United States Constitution that declared freedom and full citizenry and full humanhood, mm-hmm. All of those things in our Constitution, and black people began to be elected to office, they were elected to Congress, they were elected to state legislatures, and white people had a panic attack because, oh my God, they can't be elected. This has to be an all-white legislature, an all-state legislature, an all-white Congress, and all-male, by the way.
Yep.
And so there was this huge backlash, and this is precisely what we're seeing now. I would say that we had optimal, maximal recognition of everyone as Obama was leaving office. We had had tremendous strides in bringing others, those who are traditionally now othered by the right wing, had really begun to into the fold with rights and visibility and representation and all of those things. And the backlash from angry white people who want it to be all white again, and when they say make America great again, and they can't tell you when that was that we're going back to part of the again, mm-hmm. it all centers around racism, right, and sexism, period.
Well, I think part of it is because Obama did the unthinkable. He wore a tan suit. Did you see that?
I know.
A tan suit.
Oh. Going back to the visibility, I know you said, no, it can be dangerous. There's two sides of it, and no one has to be visible if they won't. But do you want, or do you think more trans individuals should be visible and, I guess, out?
I would like that, as long as it's safe. I mean, I feel it would be dangerous right now in too many cases to just be out and proud and trans, and I think the laws are not there to support us.
Of course not.
The statistic that I keep seeing, because safety and visibility is not something we can do ourselves. We need help. We need everybody on board to at least, whether you like us or not, to understand us and that, you know, we have a place in this country.
Acknowledgement.
Because the fear that's being spread, you know, the silliness that, you know, drag queen story hours are somehow damaging to kids. They're not. But if you want to start talking about people that have molested kids, it's not drag queens. It's not transgender people. It's people that kids trust, like, I don't know, ministers, priests, mm-hmm. people like that, mm-hmm. youth ministers. And there is plenty of evidence. If you want to go and talk about
plenty
that,
of evidence.
I think there's 4,000 evidence just from one particular church. So the it seems more like projection to me than somebody trying to protect kids. I remember speaking at the Federal Club, and there was a couple of people from our legislature that were there. And I was talking about SB 14, which is the one that bars transgender kids from receiving medically necessary care. And they had the gall, as I mentioned, to call it the Child Protection Act. And so, you know, I brought up,
what are you protecting them from?
You say you're protecting kids. I'm all for it because I've got kids and grandkids. So, yeah, let's protect them. So let's look first at what's harming them. There are 3.6 million cases. I looked it up. Of child abuse filed every year. So statistically, who's harming the kids? Their parents. And it's undeniable and it's overwhelming. So maybe let's deal with that. The number one cause of death for kids 13 to 19 in the state of Texas is firearms. Mm-hmm. So I asked our legislators, out of the 7,000 bills that you put forth for this legislative session, how many dealt with common sense gun reform? Exactly zero of them. And there's parents in Uvalde that don't have their kids anymore because of gunfire in a school. And so when you look at those statistics and you realize that they're saying that we're going to make children safe by denying access to health care for a very specific group of people is an obscenity. It's one of those, it's an insult to your intelligence. Why? What have these kids done that make you want to do that? Because if you have a kid with precocious puberty, they're allowed to have those exact same medicines. If you have a kid with, say, testicular cancer, and you need to quiet down hormones in order to, you know, keep that cancer from growing as fast, you give them that same medication. So they're denying it to trans kids, but allowing other kids who are not trans to have it. To me, that's a 14th Amendment issue. That's not equal protection under the law. And so the things that are being sown about us are just not true. Dan Patrick, back in 2017, I don't mean to turn this into a filibuster, but it's driving me crazy. Back in 2017, he described transgender people, women specifically, like myself, using the women's bathroom as being one of the most pressing issues in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Like, really?
So fortunately, it didn't pass because a lot of companies stepped up and said, knock it off, quit it. And in the past 7 years, this is in 2017, if you look at the number of trans people in the state of Texas, and I think the number is around 65,000. If we were a city, we'd be about the size of Waco or Pearland. So you take 65,000. I don't know. Let's figure a round number of going to the bathroom, what, 4 or 5 times a day?
Mm-hmm.
Times 365 times 7. And there's been zero instances
right.
of problems.
Right.
I mean, that's... I guess I've got a calculator here, but that's in the tens of millions of bathroom trips without a problem. It's a
right.
non-issue.
It's enough.
But we have state leaders describing it as one of the most pressing issues in the state of Texas. Just stop lying. Tell the truth for once. I mean, I can battle you head to head. Just tell the truth. I'm telling the truth. You can look up everything I've just said over the last 5 minutes. You can look it up and find out that it is the truth.
But We
haven't done anything wrong.
No, not at all.
It's all fabricated. We need to take a break.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
We have a couple of minutes.
I was just going to note, though, it's really disturbing to me. You know, we've been hearing a lot of these things about, you know, what life might be like if Trump were to win again in 2024. You know, what would our lives be like? And, you know, one of the biggest concerns is that he would just ignore the Supreme Court. And I'm like, they're already doing that.
Yep.
You know, because the court has no reinforcement mechanism. They don't have any army. They don't have any police. They don't have any way to enforce their rulings. But Greg Abbott today is defying a Supreme Court ruling about the border of Texas. It is a federal issue, and it is solely a federal issue.
Always
has been.
And
he continues to ignore it, a Supreme Court ruling. So, I mean, so it's going to be a free-for-all, you know, if this trend continues.
I wish somebody would file a FOIA on a couple of issues. One is, how much money is being spent on border protection, which is not their job. It is not the job of the people of the state of Texas to pay for that stuff. Also, I'd like to know how much money has been spent in all the frivolous lawsuits filed by our attorney general. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know that, too.
Yes, I would like to know that,
There's
too.
Your number.
830 million trips to the bathroom.
Yeah, without an incident. 830 wow. million. I mean, even
it's
if there was...
almost a billion.
It is. It's almost a billion. And even if there was, like, two problems, the right would be going absolutely bananas, pointing to their figures,
right.
and sowing fear and going nuts. And two out of 830 million? But it's not. It's zero.
Zero.
And how many of those trips did you make?
I'd have to add it up, but it's quite a few because I drink quite a bit of water every day.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis and the late Patty Fink. And our guest is Leslie McMurray waving her Trump Bible in our faces. She's very proud of that. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly, and we're talking a little bit about Transgender Day of Visibility. What's the difference between Transgender Day of Visibility and Day of Remembrance?
Day of Visibility is
different
to
day.
Separate us. Yeah, one's in November and one's in March. Next question. No, it's to celebrate our ability to be and be visible, to be out and not have to hide, because for so many of us, we did in a big chunk of our lives. Even those that are out live in what we call in the community stealth. And that is where they will transition in the city they live in, and then move to another state and have their correct name and gender marker changed and all that sort of stuff, and they just start a new life. The problem is, I couldn't and wouldn't want to do that because it robs you of your past. You know, if you start saying, you know, someone else is talking about their experience in the Girl Scouts and you were in the Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm. It's just little things like that that'll trip you up. Or Google. You'll live in fear for the rest of your life of one person Googling who you are. I spent 3 decades on the radio. And if you want to Google Leslie McMurray, you can get my dead name like that. I'd prefer you didn't. But you can. It's out there. So I'm not afraid of it or anything, but I just sometimes would like to be able to just be me all the time and feel safe, and I don't. And like I said, I think it takes everybody to make us feel included and safe, and I'm one of the relatively lucky ones. I mean, there are a lot of people that are transgender that are in a whole lot worse peril than I would ever be.
You know, I think it's interesting. Although so many people think that being trans is this really rare, obscure thing, and it's like, no,
there's more than it's a fad.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of trans people that walk amongst you. You just have no idea.
Yeah,
you have no idea.
Well, I thought there was a great thing that happened this week. I was watching Jeopardy, and up comes for the first time I've ever seen in my entire life, and I don't watch Jeopardy all the time. I only started recently, kind of watching it again and recording it, kind of looking forward to it. And up comes the category, LGBTQ writers and their words.
Really?
And I was like, wow. That's really, really amazing. So one of them was a photograph of Sarah McBride, who is a trans state senator in the state of...
Delaware?
No, you have to do it in the form of a question.
Yeah. What is Delaware?
That is it.
Sorry.
But it was fantastic.
Right.
That's awesome. To finish the back end of your question, Transgender Day of Remembrance is an observation of trans people that have been murdered in the previous year. And that's on November 20th every year. And then there's also Transparent Day, which I think gets a little short shrift. But for those of us like me that are older that have kids... we don't do Mother's Day or Father's Day because I'm not their mom, and Dad doesn't really fit at all. They don't look at me as Dad. It's parental, but it's just we've morphed the relationship. And so we don't do Mother's Day or Father's Day, but on Transparent Day, they send us presents and all kinds
when
of fun stuff.
When is Transparent Day?
It's the first Sunday in November.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's very cool, kind of leading into Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
you
it
might
is.
Gather together and see each other and see your
celebrate,
grandkids.
And it's all neat. And then we rally together and count our dead.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but Transparent Day, I like that because, you know, I asked at your wedding, I asked one of your daughters.
Sarah. Or Chrissy.
Did you prefer Leslie before she transitioned or after? And she said, oh, there's no question, after. And I said, why? She said, because she's happy now.
Yeah.
It's it's just such a simple thing. I want the people I love in my life to be happy.
Be happy. Now, you touched on something that I found interesting. So they don't refer to you as mother. And you said the father thing, that's not really appropriate either. Now, is that something specific to you all? Or have you met other trans parents who... maybe the father did transition to a mother and their kids do refer to them as mother?
Yeah, it's peculiar to us.
Okay.
That's just how we have dealt with it, and it was really pretty organic. It just happened, you know, the way it sort of happened. The very first, and this one caught me flat-footed, the very first Father's Day was a really, really bad day for me. I was moving, and it was hot, and the movers that were there were knuckleheads. It was just a mess. It was chaos. And my daughter Sarah called to wish me a happy Father's Day. And she was kind of like, happy Father's Day? And I said, hey, thank you. Can I call you back? Because I'm right in the middle of something. And it's just because I was yelling at a mover. And she goes, yeah, sure, no problem. I just have something I wanted to ask you. I said, sure, no problem. So I hang up. And the rest of the day, I tried to call her, and I couldn't get her. Well, she has a husband and kids of her own, and so they're doing their own Father's Day thing, so I didn't think anything of it. And so the next day, I was driving down to Marble Falls, and so I was in the middle of 35, and I called, and I got her on the phone, and I said, what did you want to ask me? And she said, I just was on, like, Instagram and stuff, and people were posting pictures of them with their dad. And I was wondering if it was okay if I posted a picture of you. And I said, of course. You know, you can post whatever you want of me. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I understand I have a past. It's all part of what we deal with. And I said, what picture did you want to post? And she said, the one of you walking me down the aisle.
Aww.
And I just started sobbing. It was just an absolute mess because there was a whole lot going on with mm-hmm. that. But it's just those things that just kick you right in the teeth sometimes.
Yeah.
In a good way.
But I was mad at myself because I was, like I said, caught flat-footed. I didn't think about it coming up and say, here's how let's deal with that. You know, let's not do that this year. Maybe let's, you know, pick a time. Because there's a lot of things that are very gendered as far as holidays that can...
So right. What do your kids call you?
Leslie.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's what they call me.
Whatever works. Whatever works.
How about your grandkids?
They call me Grandma Leslie.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and it's funny. There's another one of those here fear things, and let me bust that all to pieces. One of my granddaughters, when she was 7, when Katie and I were getting married, we sent out the wedding announcements. And so my daughter, Sarah, put it up on her refrigerator. And so Hannah saw it, and she saw Leslie McMurray, and she knows her mom's maiden name is McMurray. And she looked at that and she said, Mom, is Grandma Leslie your mom? And she said, no, honey, she's my dad, but now she's a girl. And Hannah said, oh, okay, and off she went. So that's where, you know, when I talk to people in groups, when they ask about, you know, that, oh, you can't, like with the don't say gay in school, you can't talk about LGBTQ issues with kids. They can't process that. Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they
just
can.
Just be honest, tell them the truth, and keep it age appropriate. Now, Hannah didn't ask anything greater than that. That was her question, so don't over-answer. You know, it's like, oh, brother, now I got to talk about all LGBTQ issues with kids. They can't process that. Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they
just
can.
Just be honest, tell them the truth, and keep it age appropriate. Now, Hannah didn't ask anything greater than that. That was her question, so don't over-answer. You know, it's like, oh, brother, now I got to talk about all that stuff.
Right.
No, you don't. Right. If Hannah asks it, then go ahead and answer it. Keep it age appropriate and keep it, you know, to say, you know, if she's asking all these deep technical things about relationships, if you wouldn't talk about yours to your kid that way, then don't talk about mine.
Right.
But I'm not embarrassed about who I am. And as long as you keep it age appropriate and the truth, you can tell kids anything. They're amazing.
Yeah, and you're so right. People try and complicate talking about LGBT issues to kids so much. And it's like, no, it's not any of that. You know, I remember, how do you tell a kid that they, you know, where they come from when they have two moms or two dads? You know,
what did you tell Gabrielle?
We just told her. I mean, I think she was like 2 or 3 years old. Probably 3.
You have two daddies?
It's like, well, no, she knew she had two daddies and she was proud of it. But we just told her, you know, hey, you know, babies come out of a woman's belly. So this really nice lady carried you for us. Okay. That was it.
Done.
Does she ask questions now when she's older?
Well, she doesn't ask questions because she knows who her mother, her biological mother is. I mean, we see her. We see her probably every other year.
Oh,
Yeah, you know, never not been in a picture.
Yeah.
But, you know, from the get-go, we told her, like, you know, basically, two men don't make a baby, but we didn't go into any detail. Just like, hey, you know, this nice lady carried you in her belly and for us, and we wanted you so bad. And like,
do you know, the question that I can imagine her asking is, well, how did you meet her?
That didn't come up for a while. That didn't come up for a while, like a long time.
Well, when you settle those questions early on,
yeah,
sometimes kids just put them away. It happens a lot with kids who are divorced. I mean, parents are divorced, and you don't see the dad anymore. You right. know, it's like, where's Daddy? Well, he's left.
Went out for cigarettes.
Well, maybe you don't go there.
Yeah.
Right. And never came back. You know, but the people give an explanation that is fulfilling and satisfactory for the kid for an extended period of time, and they don't have to bring it up again.
Right, exactly.
Until they think about it, you know?
Fear thing, it's unnecessary.
It's unnecessary.
Exactly. If you're a flipping adult, have a be a parent. Have a conversation with your kid. It's like whether you want to decide to allow your kids to read a book like Fahrenheit 451 or Catcher in the Rye or any of those books that end up on a banned list. I say absolutely read that book. And when we're done, let's sit down and talk about it. What did it mean to you? What did you get out of that? What did you think of it? Do you want to read more books like that? How did it make you feel? Have a conversation. Be a parent.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, there you go.
Let's watch the movie. Yeah. You want to see the original or the remake?
All right. Yeah.
I totally agree. This is about being a parent.
We shouldn't be so afraid as a nation. I mean, really, is that where they're pushing us, to just be terrified of everything? You know, they can't fix a single thing, and so instead they fight the culture wars? We haven't done that. We haven't done anything to deserve that.
Speaking of the culture wars, I have two opposing quotes about Transgender Day of Visibility. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, said that Transgender Day of Visibility betrays the central tenet of Easter.
How so?
Oh, you're asking for some logic here.
I mean, if it was National Donut Day, that would probably betray.
As a leader, one of the most important people in the United States, you standing up and saying things like that betray the central tenets of Easter.
Now, here's what President Biden, how he described Transgender Day of Visibility. He said it shows extraordinary courage and emphasizes their contributions to American life.
Very simple, very true.
Yeah.
Explanation of day of visibility. You know, if heterosexual, cisgender, Christianist, white males were being discriminated against in this country, their quest to be seen and acknowledged and maybe not accepted, but at least recognized as a member of society, they would have no problem with that. And they would not see that as, against the central tenets of Easter.
Yeah, it's not like we're trying to have Viagra declared as gender-approving or gender-affirming care.
Right.
So I just looked it up, and I can't count how many other observances / holidays are on March 31st. It's not just National Trans Day of Visibility.
Oh, let's hear
it's just
hear
not some. Easter. It's also Anesthesia Tech Day. It's also Cesar Chavez Day. It's also National Crayon Day. It's also National Prom Day.
Well, National Crayon Day, that way I can draw the Easter Bunny and the eggs that it lays.
It's also Make Mine Chocolate Day. It's also...
Well, Chocolate Easter Bunnies.
There you go.
Yeah,
International Hug Media Veilus Day. It's Eiffel Tower Day.
Ah. The French.
Well, that cuts right through the central tenets of
And here's
Easter.
Here's a really important one, I think, National Farm Workers Day.
Should be on Cesar Chavez's birthday.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, there's an interesting story that I have about him. When I lived in Palm Springs years and years and years ago, and there was a grape grower, a guy by the name of Lionel Steinberg, who had a grape field, I guess what you would call it?
Vineyards.
Orchard? Vineyard? Yeah.
Grape fields.
Grape fields, yeah. That's what you call them. And he had a son named Billy. And Lionel was a client at the law firm that my ex-wife used to work at. And so it's not like we became buddies or anything like that, but it's just to be able to know a guy like that. Well, his son Billy wrote songs. And one of them is True Colors by Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it was written by Lionel Steinberg's son, Billy. Lionel's connection to Cesar Chavez is he is the first grape grower to cross the line and make a contract with the United Farm Workers, breaking that grape boycott.
Mm. That's fantastic.
He was the first one. And his son, Billy, wrote True Colors for Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, that's... What a great legacy.
Yeah, what a connection.
Something.
Yeah.
I'd love to be, remembered as having in total net goodness. yeah. behind, leaving behind, yeah. rather than, you know. And I feel bad for a lot of these MAGA extremists that they're going to be known when they leave this earth for fear and fear-mongering.
Yeah, it's just a matter of being, like, I always want to be on the right side of history. And when you look at just, let's boil it down to just book bans, which I couldn't disagree with more, because I love to read. I'm a voracious reader. But have we ever looked back kindly on any civilization that has banned or burned books?
No, never. It has no history
no.
of being a good thing.
No.
In fact, its only history is being a bad thing.
Yeah.
So when this all started, I was asking people.
Is that what you want to be known
you
for?
You know, book bans just don't, they don't play well in history
Mm-mm.
at all. What are you doing?
But they don't care how they're going to go down in history.
No, they don't.
They're just thinking about the right now, in
well,
the moment.
Well, that's why they're blocking teaching history.
So that, you know, I guess it doesn't count.
Well, they might learn from previous book bans. I mean, that's another example of history repeating itself.
It's stunning to me that, and you were talking about things like Fahrenheit 451, which mm-hmm. is one of my favorite books. And the whole concept of that, I think if you're going to ban Fahrenheit 451, think about that.
Yeah, that kind of, rather unironically.
Mm-hmm. When it's a book about banning books.
Fahrenheit 451 says, I told you so.
Yeah, I just find it so bizarre. And who's going to make that decision? Well, oftentimes in these states, especially in the South and especially in Florida, it's been one person in a community that's been dictating for the entire community.
Yep.
And
in Florida, it's basically one person for the state, because the books that she's recommending be banned, all the other school districts are picking up on.
Yeah, that's kind of like the
using her list
of saying, I'm on a diet so you can't have a donut.
Right.
You know, do you want to allow, as a parent, do you want to allow this other person to decide what your kids get to read?
And I love this quote from B.B. Alston, an African-American writer, said, book banning, when you erase the history and experience of one kid to protect another, what you're also saying is that there is only one type of kid worth protecting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, and in here, in this situation, we mean white kids.
Right, right.
White kids whose parents identify with slave owners.
But let's be clear. There's nothing to protecting them from. What are we protecting white kids from?
They think it's because they don't want their white kid to feel bad.
Yeah.
And be uncomfortable.
Or we're going to take away their religion or change their sexuality.
You know, there's a real simple answer to that. If a kid is like, well, should I feel bad about it? No, we don't treat each other that way anymore.
Right. We're way beyond that.
We're way beyond that.
And, you know, everybody it has family. And it just cracks me up that we accept these things in our family. Like, I understood from watching my aunt and my mom, who were sisters, 17 years apart, sit down and go through old family photos. And talk about my grandparents like they were saints and they never did anything wrong. And I grew up thinking that it was this pristine mutual admiration society. And my oldest sister, who's 15 years older than I am, said, oh, God, no. She said, I can remember when I was about 6 getting up at the middle of the night. My mom got me up in the middle of the night to leave because she had an argument with her mother.
Mm.
And they had to leave the house in the middle of the night because she was so mad. And I'm like, really? I mean, so, you know, had I not had that that step of reality, it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't make me uncomfortable.
Right.
I just go, wow. You know, to hear them later, it was just like, oh, we just loved every moment with our parents.
Yeah, they're real people.
Yeah. So. And you can still have that. You can still say, I love my parents.
Right.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis and the late Patty Fink. And joining us today is our regular Leslie McMurray. And this is Lambda Weekly, and we're talking to Leslie McMurray. Today is Transgender Day of Visibility, and yes, it's also Easter.
And there's also about 20 other things going on today that's recognized.
National Secondhand Shopping Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, holidays are not like pie. You know, a holiday for me doesn't mean less holiday for you. You can just Easter yourself out, hunt all the eggs you want, bite the ears off your bunny.
What?
Yeah, I love that.
One of these is kind of National Prom Day. This early. It's kind of early for prom. Prom usually is not until May.
You're
so.
Gonna have it, think about the scheduling, though. You got to do it early if it's going to be national.
I guess so.
I love the secondhand shopping day.
Yeah.
Because that's a big one that Aaron celebrates. Religiously. Okay. Thrifting.
Oh, yeah. I used to love going thrift shopping.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. I was really into it for a while.
Do you do Kirby's?
No. No.
You don't pull over and...
No.
Wow.
It was always just going to Goodwill.
And looking over the
stuff, yeah. Wow. And go to Goodwill in the rich neighborhoods.
Find see what they discard.
Seriously, they get rid of stuff, still has the tag on it, 75% off. You really make out good there.
We could do a whole show on that.
Yeah.
And maybe we should.
So, the right wing, they're all upset about National Trans Visibility Day, and we got all these others.
Not just the right wing. Patty is upset about it, too.
I am not.
Further proof that they want to single us out or you all out. Everything, a lot of other stuff is going on, but you single out the trans as the reason to get upset.
Yeah, I got news for you. If every trans person in the United States out and shipped us off somewhere or whatever, you're still going to have all your problems because there's just not enough of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, like, to me, all of this animus and all of this, and it is animus, and it's such a great word just to collectively say it's not based in any kind of factual
truth. It has no legitimate state interest.
Exactly. And animus is just a feeling. It's just an emotion. So you're going to change laws to discriminate against me based upon emotion, an emotion you have, but others maybe do not have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how they want to proceed forward. And it terrifies me that if we're going to start ignoring Supreme Court rulings, and not that many of them are very good anymore, but if they were to decide, hey, it's okay, open season on LGBTQ+ people, what kind of animus would be then become violence.
Right.
You know, it's frightening. And as a trans community, I worry every day about that.
Well, there's that
it's
kid
already
up
happening.
In Oklahoma, next, the non-binary kid that was beaten and overwhelmed in a bathroom and then ended up dying of an overdose, turns out of Benadryl. But to me, the death of next is no less due to that violence, to bullying, hatred, and a complete disregard by elected officials and school officials.
What I don't understand is with Nex, at the very least, why aren't those kids arrested for assault?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, have we talked about Nex at all on the show?
We have.
Yeah.
We have at various times, but not in any depth.
I know about it, but not the nitty-gritty details. Can we go back and just talk about how that even all happened from beginning to end?
Yeah, my understanding of it is Nex, a non-binary kid that was
middle school
age, but bullied pretty consistently and ridiculed, but was assaulted in a girls' bathroom.
By three
girls who beat their head against the ground and, just lay the wood to them. There was some conjecture as to why they didn't call an ambulance right away, because they said that they were able to get next down to the principal's office. And I guess they looked at it, from what I can tell, as just it was another fight among kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then next went home. The mother apparently took them to the emergency room, and they were sent home, and then died the next day. And they were kind of like, okay, was this like due to a head injury? Was this, what happened? Was it related to the fight?
I think it should be pointed out that Nex was knocked out, was unconscious from that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not, wow. Not a long time, but anytime you lose consciousness.
Knocked out, nonetheless.
During trauma, that's a serious thing.
Yeah, you need to go to hospital and probably immediately.
Right, right.
And so the next day, they were found dead and unresponsive. And it turns out it was, I think it was diphenhydramine, which is an ingredient in Benadryl. There apparently was an overdose. But those kind of things, while they're not categorized as homicide, to me, they sure as hell are, because they're directly related. You take a kid that age and take away hope, and you say, this is my lot in life, to just get pounded every day. I don't know what the situation was at home, whether the parents were receptive and loving, but I really worry for the kids that are seeing your access to health care is going away, the bullying is going up, when you're seeing the laws, which have, whether you want to like it or not, they have a permissive effect. If you're saying this group of people is being singled out for disparate treatment, it's like, oh, okay, well then I'm certainly not going to be punished for piling on. Because their lives aren't valued the same way as everyone else.
You know, it's at the very least assault.
Right. Yeah. That's so yeah. Why
no
are
question it was
why,
assault.
Why were those kids not arrested?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because even let's say if this kid was not non-binary or trans or whatever, still when you that type of fight, I have a kid in a school. I'm married to a school teacher who tells me about how things go down at school. The cops usually would have been called, and not especially if it's like something like that. It's not just written off as, oh, just another kids fighting. Next.
Yeah, and they also have a lot of times a school resource officer.
Absolutely.
Title IX coordinator. I mean, all those kind of people should have been pulled together and to say, okay, what's going on? Let's sort this out.
Do you know what school system this was in?
It was in Oklahoma.
It's Oklahoma.
Which one?
That ought to say enough right there.
There you go.
It's in Oklahoma. It's frightening. I mean, if there weren't any sort of law enforcement, whether it's school police or resource officers or local police present, or it was reported to, then the school to me seems like they were just going to brush it aside.
Sort of sounds like.
And not deal with it at all if they didn't act in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly didn't, you know, in the aftermath of that.
It looks like it was tragedy. High school. Nexus 16 died a day after an altercation with classmates in a school bathroom in Oklahoma.
So, I mean, is there anything about the follow-up? Have the kids been at least questioned, taken into custody, questioned?
No.
The role they're played in this, or just...
No.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, if this was a white, heterosexual, cisgender, Christianist kid who'd been beaten up by three kids of color.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's put it out there.
Three LGBTQ people.
If three black girls had beat a white girl down, oh, yeah.
Wouldn't have been a question.
Yeah.
They would be handcuffed within half an hour.
Absolutely.
It was Owosso High School.
Well, it's a tragedy, and it's such a loss to the community and Nexus family and friends and those who love them. It's unconscionable that people could do that and get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what they have. Mm-hmm. They got away with it.
Yep.
And they'll do it again.
Maybe. Hope not. But yeah, that's part of the danger of visibility.
Why wouldn't they do it again? They were shown that it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what we've seen even this past week, I don't understand, is this gag order with Trump, where he's appealing the gag order because he wants to lash out at specifically the people that won't get him in trouble with the court, where he's pushing the gag order.
Yeah, he mentioned the name of the judge's daughter.
Yeah.
And now he's posted a photo of her.
Yeah, anyone else without money or influence would be in jail right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's...
That is below low.
That judge should be calling the Secret Service and saying, get him ready because he's going to be in jail on Monday.
And I think that action is totally, totally warranted.
But hey, if I were Trump, I'd appeal to the appellate court or the Supreme Court, too. They always seem to go in his favor.
Yeah. And the more of that happens, it just makes him be able to position himself as a martyr to the MAGA crowd.
Like, there was no legal reason why they shaved off $200 and something million for his bond. There was, and everybody was saying it. Like, there was no legal reason to do that.
They just did it for him.
They just did it for him.
Because he's special.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, did you buy your Truth Social stock this week?
I'm shorting it.
Are you shorting it?
Oh, yeah.
It's up. It came on the market on Monday at 40, or Monday or Tuesday, I think Tuesday.
Tuesday.
At $49.99, and it closed Thursday, because there was no trading on Friday, closed Thursday at $62 a share.
Oh, it's going to go down. They've only made about a couple of million dollars.
Do you know what the stock is worth?
It's not
worth $6 billion. I heard it will be about $3 billion.
Like $6 or $7 billion.
What each share is actually worth.
Oh, yeah, it's a ton. I mean, it's priced like Berkshire Hathaway.
Well, no. It's on the market right now at $62 a share. It was as high as $79 a share, but the actual value, if you go by book value and assets, it's worth $2 a share.
Yeah,
it's not... It's not a profitable business right now.
No.
And that's, you don't get $6 billion on a promise in the open market.
Yeah,
you
it's just emotion.
Don't.
It's what's driving that.
Yeah, it's going to plummet. I predict it's going to dive.
It's just another grift. That and the Bibles and all that nonsense. It's just, they're getting played. It's just, I can't imagine the dumbing down of America. I used to watch the movie Idiocracy, which I love, and I used to think that it was a comedy, and now I realize it was a documentary. And I'm like, holy smoke, when are these folks going to wake up and realize they've been grifted right down to their last $25?
It's a total grift.
Yeah.
And yet he can raise all kinds of money because these deep pockets of people who say things lunacy like, he's a religious man, such a Christian man. And then he loves this country so much. I've heard that over and over from MAGA Republicans. Oh, Trump loves this country so much. I'm like, really? How do you?
Was he willing to serve it?
How is that illustrated?
Yeah. Was he willing to serve it?
No. Oh. In fact, losers and suckers are on that.
I was about to say, it's one thing to say, I'm not willing to serve, but another thing to criticize and say nasty things about the people who did.
Yeah.
And died. In service to this country, you know?
To ask your Department of Defense, Defense Secretary, to shoot unarmed protesters in the legs.
I remember when he...
Go on and on with that.
What did he say about McCain?
Likes people that don't get captured. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, at the time, I thought... John McCain, even though he didn't win the presidency, I still thought he was one of the most revered people in the Republican Party.
Yeah, he was.
He was.
And so was Liz Cheney.
And for him to say that...
Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
So for him to say that about what most people will refer to him as a war hero, I thought that would be enough. Oh, no. They didn't care.
Yeah, they trashed their own.
They didn't care.
Yeah, not MAGA enough. Or at all. Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand the rationale behind it because it completely ignores reality.
Yeah.
So send your money, pay for his legal fees, do your thing, you know.
Well, and his Trump media stock, he can't cash any of it in for 6 months is the agreement. So it's not going to help him with the bond that is.
But he's really wealthy. Remember that video where he says, "I'm really,
really wealthy. Yeah.
I'm really rich," is what he said. And if he is really rich, then he won't have any trouble paying the rest of the stuff. He has had trouble, so it doesn't really matter if he's got the stock sitting on the side. He doesn't have it now.
Well, the irony of it all is that nobody wants to write him a bond because.
He's not good for it.
He's putting up a bond for lying about how much he's worth backing this bond.
If he can't inflate his assets, he can't get a loan. He can't get a bond.
From what I've seen of his assets, they're greatly inflated.
Yes. And over the belt,
I saw
too.
You know, playing tennis. Like, whoa. That's some inflated assets.
Well, we are out of time.
Thank you, Leslie.
Always thanks, Leslie. Great to have you. Thank you for being with us. Happy Trans Day of Visibility and happy Easter to those who celebrate, and happy secondhand shopping day. To those who celebrate.
Yeah, surgical assistant. Let's not forget about them.
And Anesthesia Tech.
Anesthesia Tech Day.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
I'm so glad.